Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Alright, here we go with the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for that popping up there in a couple days. But, hey, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z-Man with three of those E's.
All right, Dan. Well, I'm trying to think if this came out officially today or if it popped up last night, but after 2021, after the 2021 baseball season, Dan, the Cleveland Indians are no more. This will be the last year they use the name because it is considered racially insensitive. No ideas on what they're going to call themselves, but apparently they're hanging on to the name because I'm guessing they didn't want to be the Cleveland baseball team, a la the Washington football team. So help me out here, Dan. Where are you at this? You interested? You don't care? Where are you?
I don't want to say I don't care, but to all the people that are so upset about it, get over it. I mean, I'm more upset about the Washington football team because, well, it just sounds stupid. And I saw something from a guy I'm, you know, semi-friends with on Facebook. I say semi-friends because, you know, a lot of these people you don't even meet in real life. Or are we ever going to meet in real life? Because that's the way the world is now. But, you know, he said what annoys him about it is, you know, he's like, am I watching American football or am I watching rugby? He goes, because that's what I think of when I hear, you know, Washington football team. So, I have a brother-in-law that was all bent out of shape. All this PC stuff in the world. You know, it's dumb to have, you know, for that to be the reason for the Redskins to drop the Redskins name. And, you know, he's gone on this long-ass thing, and I go, number one, you don't even watch football, so what the hell do you care? Number two, I go, this is not like, oh, this was just brought up this year because of, you know, all this social injustice that apparently, you know, I think a lot of people think that it's only been going on in 2020, you know. There really wasn't any sort of social injustice until the George Floyd situation, apparently, to a lot of people. So, you know, because, I mean, even in the Indians press release, they use that as an instance as to why they're bringing up the name change. And you know what, just, yeah, you could take that one and blow it out your ass because groups of, and I don't even want Native Americans, and I'm not going to call them Indians because, well, for anyone who has any sort of knowledge would know that the reason Columbus coined that phrase was because they believed the world was flat. He wanted to prove it wasn't, and he thought he landed in India. So,
yeah.
Nobody that wears a headdress to me is an Indian because, well, this isn't India. So, you know, there's that to it. But, you know, it's just like, get over it. I don't really care. You know, I mean, they could have addressed this just like the Washington Redskins Bethune, the Braves. You know, the Blackhawks kind of cornered and do what they do, but we'll see if that eventually gets changed. I don't know. I'm just not so hung up on the name. You know, it just, like, get over it. And there's people out there, well, I have the Chief Wahoo. I'm always going to wear the Chief Wahoo. Yeah, and you know what? Eventually, you know, you're going to die, and so is your way of thinking. So, I don't know. I think people just get way too stuck on the past. You know, oh, the Indians have been called that for 106 years. Well, the Cubs were the lovable losers for approximately 100 years.
Yeah, actually, to be fair, I don't believe the Indians have had their names that quite that long. Maybe. They've had some other pretty interesting names. They were the Cleveland Blues, the Cleveland Spiders. Here's my favorite, Dan. In 1890, there was a Cleveland Infants. I would love to see them go back to that name. The Cleveland Lake Shores, the Cleveland Bluebirds, the Cleveland Browns, and then they ended up going back to, like, the Cleveland Napoleons. So, yeah, they've had some interesting names. I'm looking here to see if it says when they maybe it's been 106 years now, because about 1915, it looks like they came up with the Indians' name. So it's definitely close to that, but yeah, nothing. I guess I'm to the point where. You know, I'm like you. I don't want to say I don't care, but I didn't see Indians that sensitive. So maybe I'm kind of missing out there, because, I mean, if you're an American Indian, you know, you were here when Columbus was here. I maybe be more upset at the fact that it's the team in Cleveland that had the name, because there could have been a better representative maybe on the East Coast where Columbus actually landed, but, you know, and it seems like, you know, this won't be the end of it, Dan. It looks like they're going to go after the Braves and the Chiefs next.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes.
So. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just get on and move on, you know, I mean. It's easy for everyone else, you know. Well, here's the dumbest one I've heard. Here's the absolute, like, you are just a jackass, and you are going to be ignorant the rest of your life.
Oh, the Irish don't get upset about, you know, Notre Dame.
Well, no, jackass, because the guy who founded Notre Dame came over with, as part of a brotherhood with Irish and Frenchmen, so it's kind of intuitive that it's an Irish institution, and you know, kind of goes that way. You know what I mean? It's like your argument has absolutely no validity, and you're not making any sense. Like, why don't you do some research before you open your mouth? A quick Wikipedia search, which isn't the most, you know, the best idea for reference, will tell you that you're an idiot. I don't know. I think it's just easy for people that aren't, you know, don't have any true identity or affiliation with a word that could be deemed as derogatory to write it off. You know, and I think it's easy to, you know, kind of attack that person and be like, well, what if they called the team this? You know, and then, of course, because they can't shake their, you know, ignorant views, well, I'd be fine with it, you know. But, I mean, it goes back to the story I told you about Peking, Illinois, and their baseball team. You know, it was racist.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, luckily it appears that teams like the Blackhawks and the Seminoles are currently safe, because they actually have the support of the actual tribe to use those names. You know, I know they went hard after the Seminoles when this all started out, and you know, the Florida State basically said, hey, F you, they support us. So,
yeah.
You know, you've got to, you know, you got to realize that not everybody is against this. And, you know, looking at it, I understand the Redskins. I mean, even though they were a longtime franchise and, you know, there were people with, you know, negative views of it, but like, I don't know. And maybe it's just my ignorance that I don't understand Indians being derogatory. You know, maybe because I guess technically it is a group of people, but you know, like that doesn't seem as bad to me as like Redskins, and like Chiefs is a high honor. So I don't know why that would be, you know, it just seems like we just want to block and kind of blur everything out. So I don't know.
So, you know, Mark Zuckerberg and those guys are actually making 1984 possible in that sense. You know, and that's not a lie. I mean, I had a friend last week take a link from the CDC posting, you know, whatever it was, the effects of a possible vaccination to Facebook. He tagged me and like a bunch of other people. He was flagged. He wasn't allowed to post it from the actual CDC. So I'm not wearing a foil hat on this one. Facebook is literally censoring. So, you know, 1984 is here. But, you know, you're right. But the thing is with the Indians, you know, the Chief Wahoo, I think, you know, it was definitely time to go. But, you know, it's a group of people, but it is generalizing a group of people. You know, I mean, that's just, you know, I was fortunate enough to work in an industry where I saw all types of people. So it always annoyed me when someone referred to that person as an Asian person, you know, I mean, whereas, because they're all, it's so many different countries, you know, you're just saying that they're all one, where you would look at me and be like, oh, you must be Mexican. But if you want to generalize me, my grandfather, while he wasn't born in the United States, was still born on the continent of North America. But you would still differentiate me as being a Mexican and not an American. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, it's, and if you want to represent the Indian nation, which again, you know, live in India, but you know, where is that population in Cleveland? Where are those people being represented? How are they being represented? Is there any kind of anything that you're doing to help them? You know, and I think the hardest part about using anything that is Native American related is the fact that, you know, however you look at it, the nature of history is one group of people comes to another group and takes over. You know, I mean, it is what it is. You can't change it.
Yeah.
It is what it is. You know, we can't change the past. But kind of the way they were treated and just kind of pulled out of their land and then just put in these reservations. So in that sense, how is the name Cleveland Indians for the betterment of those people? And I think that's where it kind of comes from, you know, whether it's PC debate or not, you know, at some point it's got to be time to represent what Cleveland is really about and make that identify with the team, even though it is hard because you think about it, we have the Cubs and the Bears here. How does that represent Chicago? You know, it doesn't. You know, it's the White Sox. But, and I think that's part of it too, is when you look at all the other teams and you have this very small minority of teams that use something that was from another culture, so to speak. You know, because let's be honest, between the Braves, the Chiefs, the Indians, the Blackhawks, what representation of the Native American population plays or is employed for those by those teams.
Yeah, I'm not looking for that one. You're on your own there.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you and I watch the TV, though, we can pretty much definitively say 0% is on the field, the court, the ice. So I think it'll be interesting to see what new name they come up with. And, you know, and that's the other side of it, though, is everyone just wants to pull the negative, pull the negative, pull the negative. Why not look towards the positive that Cleveland is looking to make a change for the betterment of the society as a whole? You know? And maybe have something that represents Cleveland a little better. I mean, do you call them the Cleveland Jameses? That was needed for a rim shot.
Yeah, sorry, I was wrong. I think they should just call them the and get it over with.
The what?
The Cleveland Steamers and get it over with. You know?
That's, but isn't that like a really bad sexual innuendo kind
of? Yeah. Yes, it's horrible. Horrible. That's the way they should call them that. They can't do anything. So.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get off of being here as we've been and move on to something else. All right. You okay with that?
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine.
Yeah. So, you know, I got to tell you, Dan, I was a little surprised when the Rays decided to let Hunter Renfro go. He kind of seemed just kind of like a player who was right up their alley. You know, he was only making a little over $3 million, kind of fit right into what they did, but they decided to kick him out to the curb after 1 year. And he signed with the Red Sox today for $3.1 million. That's the other reason I figured he was a perfect fit for the Rays. You know, I mean, he had 8 bombs last year, but he does have 30 home runs in his career before. He hit 33 with San Diego 1 year and then 26 and 26. So they're getting a legitimate power hitting outfielder to the mix there as they kind of begin to rebuild or restock or re whatever you're talking about with the Red Sox. You know, I don't know if he'll be a full-time guy because obviously it's going to depend on what happens with Jackie Bradley Jr. But, you know, everybody plays 4 outfielders now, so there's going to be at-bats. You like this signing rolling in here with this?
They needed to do something, didn't they?
Yeah, well, especially if they're going to let Bradley go. You know, they had to come up with something, but you know, I figure it's a, you know, and it's obviously a good $3.1 million plus the opportunity to to get $600,000 more in bonuses. That's not a bad deal at all.
No, I mean, and unfortunately for Renfro. Renfro. You know, has he really turned out to be the guy we've wanted to see since San Diego?
Well, you know, he's only been gone 1 year, and, you know, I mean, you can't really – can you judge anybody on last year?
You can't. No, I just meant – oh, yeah, you're right. It was a bad season for him, but 42 games, only 120 at-bats, 122 – I just can't remember if Baseball Reference lets you compare players. I wanted to side by side see Renfro for Jackie Bradley, but you know, the good old change of scenery. He'll be in a great system. You know, as long as his defense is on point, I think he'll stay in the lineup majority of the time. But would you think his numbers kind of equal to where Jackie Bradley was at?
Well, you know, in reality, he'll probably put up twice the home runs Bradley will playing in Fenway. You know, I mean, you know, the, you know, obviously to get it over the Green Monster, you got to hit it high, but it's not that far. And, you know, even down right field, if he's going that way, there's a real short port that way as well. So it's, you know, he, I mean, he could go out and really, you know, have a huge year power-wise where let's face it, you know, regardless of how much me, you, and Schomburg do bitch about it, that's all anybody cares about. Honestly, if he's a full-time guy, I could see him hitting 35-plus bombs for them. You know, I mean, he may only hit 230, but I could see him getting 35 real easy with, you know, 81 games in that ballpark. I can't see why he couldn't.
Well, and like you, you know, I mean, of course, you know, my the first thing I look at, which, you know, shows my age, Big Jack, is batting average. So when I see three seasons roughly averaging 230, I'm like, oh, this is not really a guy I'd be looking to put on my team. But like you said, you know, 35 home runs could easily hit in Boston. I mean, with the Padres over three seasons, you know, 26, 26, and 33. And I wouldn't say that park's really known for being a home run park, would you?
Oh, no. It's, and it's definitely, even if it was, it's not as friendly as hitting in Fenway Park.
Uh-uh.
So. But, yeah, you know, it'll be it.
And the money. The money is good for them. It doesn't continue to put them over the hump.
You know, and speaking about the money being good for a team, Dan, the Royals have re-signed Greg Holland. He's coming back for 1 year at $2.75 million. With $1.5 million in options. Now, if you remember, for a period of about 4 years, Holland was like the best closer in baseball. Then he ran into some issues, but he really kind of, I guess you could say, righted the ship with Kansas City last year. He went 3-0 with a 1.91 ERA in 28 games, and he picked up six saves. So, you know, I don't know if he'll be the main closer because, you know, he is going to be 35. But he was able to get major league hitters out that, you know, then. And, you know, Dan, with a price tag like this, if he goes out and has another year, boy, they're going to have a hell of a guy that contenders are going to come looking for come July, August, right?
Oh, yeah.
So
and if you could get,
you know, I think that's,
yeah. Sorry. I was looking at Boston's. What? No, never mind. Besides the point.
So, but yeah, so that's, you know, again, that's a pretty, you know, a really good, that's very Kansas City like, I guess you could call it in the deal, right?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, with that, I went from Boston Red Sox looking at their breakdown salaries for next year, sitting at, which is, you know, under the threshold, which they've been trying to do, sitting at 138, let's just say 139 million for next year, which most of that money is going to Chris Sale and a couple other players. But, oops, hit forward. Then we head up the Kansas City Royals, who are sitting going into 2021 at $76 million. So they're in no way near of getting hit with, you know what I mean.
Yeah, the luxury tax?
Oh. Yeah, the luxury tax. I don't know why. That just slipped my mind. And, you know, the highest paid player right now is Danny Duffy sitting at the cool $15.5 million, which he comes off the books next year. And then Soler, the guy's name I could not remember last week, Big Jack. You know, he's kind of pretty much the runner-up at $8.5 million for this year. So, you know, one of the interesting things, like you said, is if Holland can be someone to turn things around for them, you know, it'll be interesting because, you know, the hard part, the money, obviously, you know, the Royals could just pick up the rest of his contract if a team wanted them to, without really, you know, hurting so bad. But would they get enough in return? And then, you know, the downside with the Royals is if you start looking at anybody who's, you know, really producing on their team, with the exception of the contract with Mike Minor and, you know, Whit Merrifield for another couple of years, there's a lot of guys, their roster's pretty open next year. They only really,
yeah,
you know, for 2022, they only really have Santana, Merrifield, Minor. Well, they have Frenchy Cordero on their team. You know, those guys are locked up by contract, but they still have a lot of youth. So, you know, their youth's going to be with them through almost the, you know, the first half of this decade. So it's an interesting position that they're in. I really don't know. You know, you look at this and you're like, man, Salvador Perez, and that's it, you know.
So, yeah, and then the final signing over the weekend, actually the Mets made the signing. They actually made two moves. They did hire a general manager, Jarrett Porter, who was working in the Diamondback front office, now the Mets general manager. But the signing, they finally worked it out. They got James McCann for, it looks like it's going to be officially a little over 4 years at $40 million. Now, Dan, this works out in a couple interesting ways here. You know, obviously the Mets needed a frontline catcher, and the last couple years in Chicago, McCann has really played well. Now he's going to get the opportunity to be the full-time guy. So we'll see how that goes. But what this also does is this takes them out of the JT Realmuto Derby, and they've got more money to spend other places. And there was some talk that they could be interested in adding Trevor Bauer. So I'm really interested to see how the dominoes fall with this. Now, of course, as soon as they signed McCann, everybody who used to love him decided they had hated him because he's never caught more than 118 games in a season. So, of course, they immediately crapped on him about being a full-time guy. Dan, you know, there are a lot of catchers who are considered full-time guys that only catch 118, 120 games a season. So this is just natural media BS that you get when this happens with players. You in on this, and how you think he's going to do?
I think he's going to do great. You know, 4 years, you've got the old guy, you know, 31. He'll end his career at 35. But they have a couple guys behind him. Now my freezing. You know, they have a couple guys behind him, which, you know, aren't that much younger than him, but should be able to last and learn from him. So, you know, I think it's a good signing for the Mets. It gives them a solid guy, and God, I don't know what's going on, Big Jack. I'm having ear issues. I don't even have AT&T. And like you said, most full-time catchers, you know, granted, Yadi's the man down in St. Louis, but you know, the most he's done in this century, well, let's just go from 2010 for this decade, was 147 games. You know, he's averaged about 138, you know, the lowest in 2019 with 113. So, I mean, catcher position of all positions, I really don't, in today's game or pretty much any game, I know back in the day those guys used to just grind it out. But if it's, there's one position that I think needs a break, it's the catching position. You know, you can't expect the guy to sit back there for 160 games.
Yeah, guys are no longer catching, you know, 150 games like they used to back in the day. You know, we're never going to see that again. You know, if you get a guy who can probably give you 130, you're in an incredible spot. So, yeah, it's just, it's just insane when, you know, people start kind of pointing and, you know, looking at these things on, you know, who, oh, well, you know, he doesn't catch enough games, you know, stuff like that. It's just ridiculous. You know, well, that always just makes me laugh.
So,
but
I think, like you said, the stuff coming out about the hate for James McCann is just kind of unwarranted.
You know, but yeah, you know, that's kind of how it goes. You know, what can you do, right?
I mean, it's better than the other guy that was sitting in their system as a number one draft pick for years, and they finally had to let go and never even did anything in his other positions. So
yeah, well, you know, and then, I mean, if you look at this, if they wrap this up as James McCann, and then they do land Trevor Bauer, and they've also been interested in George Springer. If it's James McCann and Trevor Bauer, or James McCann and George Springer, that's a hell of an offseason for a Met team that, you know, has an opportunity to compete again, especially if Noah Syndergaard is 100% and healthy, because then you'll have DeGrom, Syndergaard, and Marcus Stroman as your top three guys in your rotation. If it is Bauer, you throw him in, and that's probably the top four in baseball by a pretty big margin. So, you know, that could really, you know, put them right back in there with the Braves and, you know, if the Nationals bounce back or the Phillies or whoever's going to do what. So it's a pretty, you know, I think it's a really good move, because you're also looking at it as, okay, he is a little older, but I'm also not tied up for a catcher for 7 or 8 years like Realmuto once and hundreds of millions of dollars. So, I honestly think it's a good move for them.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know about your feelings on it, but are you looking to sign a catcher for that term?
Well, if you want Realmuto, you're going to have to. You know, they're looking for that Joe Mauer deal. So.
Oh.
So, and that's what, you know, Mauer got that. Of course, he got it. You got to remember, Mauer got that deal from Minnesota, where he was born and raised and played his entire career. He got, what did he get, 8 years and like 160 or 180 or maybe even 200. So I'm guessing Realmuto's agent must be Scott Boras, and that's why we're talking this kind of money. But I just can't see, you know, giving him that many years. I mean, while he is a very good catcher, you know, and he's probably the best in baseball. I mean, let's face it at this point. You know, then we're talking, he's 29 now. He turns 30 next season. By the time that contract is up, you're looking at a 37-year-old catcher making 20-plus million a year. That means you're saying he's going to be Yadier Molina. And I don't know. I mean, are you confident saying that in Realmuto?
No. No, not one bit. I mean, and you're expected to put up all that number, all that money for a guy, you know, because everything's about home runs. So you're wanting to put all this money for a guy who might give you 25 home runs a season?
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to, you know, on the other side of it is, I know RBIs don't mean shit anymore. But you're not putting JT Realmuto. Huh? Say
you're
that
lucky.
Again?
You're lucky
yeah.
to get an RBI.
Well, yeah, exactly. Just like you're lucky to play the game to begin with. So add that to your luck stats, saber metric guys. he's not going to be your number one or your number two in the lineup at all. So if he's later on 3 through 6, he should be putting up 100 RBIs a season. And he's 2019, he hit the most at 83. So he's not that lucky then, if you look at it that way.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you look at the signing, you know, what the Mets did was, you know, and now you got to realize this, the interesting thing is it's just going to be a little over $10 million a year for James McCann. You look at the free agent market, and with the exception of Realmuto and maybe Yachty, but remember, Yachty is 38. There weren't really any better options out there than McCann. I mean, you know, Mike Zunino is there. He's going to hit you a ton of home runs, and he's going to hit under 200. So that's what you're going to get. You know, you've got Wilson Ramos, who's been nothing but injury prone. You know, Jason Castro, who, like, another guy who seems to get serious injuries. You know, there's just not a lot of guys out there on the catching market. You know, you could have said with Yachty's age, you could have easily slotted McCann as the second best available catcher.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really surprised, and I think maybe it was just, well, you know, they didn't get Realmuto. Well, okay, no, they didn't. But again, if they pair it with a George Springer or a Trevor Bauer, that may be better for the team. So, you know, because I don't see them signing Realmuto and then Bauer or Springer. That's a lot to do. You know, we saw the Phillies try that with Bryce Harper. It didn't work. You know, so this way, maybe they solve two issues instead of solving just one. They also now don't have to worry about their catching position, while anybody else who's still looking does.
And fighting over JT. You know, and that's the other thing that I've preached, that you and I have just beat to the so you can't beat it anymore, whatever you are. I'm getting old. I'm screwing up all the sayings, Big Jack. But one guy isn't going to do it. You know, winning the offseason doesn't mean anything. You know, remember when the White Sox won the offseason? Yeah, they had an awesome offseason. Mr. Fantasy didn't appreciate his offseason gifts.
he did not.
But they had an awesome off-season signing. You know, I was stoked for them. I was excited. I was like, these are good moves. You know, they didn't break the bank. They didn't, you know, go out and do, you know, Yankee style when, you know, Jeter, A-Rod, and all those guys were signed to illustriously huge contracts that, aside from Jeter, nobody could finish out. It didn't work out. You know, it's pretty much every team that wins the off-season doesn't win anything in the regular season. So what does that mean? You get, oh, nice participation trophy award. But not only that, you know, the hottest free agents, the ones that we talk about the most, especially in the last couple of years, was Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. One guy, yes, they're two guys, but they're one guy individually. And that one guy did not help San Diego and did not help guarantee Philadelphia a World Series title. And why is that? Well, for anyone who doesn't realize this, there's 9 players on the field. That's how it works. The team wins, not a guy. Mike, if that were the case, the Angels should have had the 8 straight World Series titles. You heard me. 8.
No,
they should have 8 because
yeah,
a guy, one guy.
I want to know what you think of this, because in reality, it's just kind of minor here. You know, the Dodgers made a trade with the Brewers. The Brewers got a minor league left-hander by the name of Leo Crawford. And in return, the Dodgers got Corey Knebel. Now, if you remember, back in 2017, Knebel got everybody out. He was a monster for the Brewers in their bullpen. 2018, he had some struggles and he had some arm problems, missed all of 2019. Came back last year, did appear in 15 games, 13 and a third inning. Had a 6.08 ERA. Now, what I'm kind of interested in what you think here, Dan, is can the Dodgers rehab him and make him a usable veteran bullpen piece? You know, they've had really good luck with that. You know, they brought Blake Coleman in last year after he was a stud in Oakland and then crashed. You know, he did okay for them. It looks like they're going to try it again with Knievel here. And again, didn't give up much to get him. So I'm looking to see if they have a salary number here. Looks like he'll probably cost them a little over $5 million, which money is no big deal to the Dodgers. They want to win. So they're not too concerned with money. What do you think here? You like this? You know, and basically, can they fix them is what I'm interested in your opinion on.
I like it. It's minimal. They're not losing a whole lot. I do remember when he was just killing guys, you know, getting everyone out left and right. But, you know, here's one of the differences between the Dodgers. The Dodgers aren't trying to make the smartest move in the room or be the smartest guy in the room. The Dodgers, what we've seen is they'll take a guy like this and they'll experiment. They'll try. But the difference between them and some other teams is this is not all their eggs in one basket. You know, we see a lot of teams that commit and truly commit. And I'm sorry, but you cannot just put a title on a guy. I mean, if that were the case, their closer would have been the closer the entire season from day one to the end of the World Series. But when he got roughed up and he wasn't playing well, you don't have that job anymore. And no offense to you, buddy, but it's just not working out. And that's one of the differences between, I think, with the Dodgers and what they do as opposed to other teams is where you'll see a lot of teams just, you know, whether the guy's having trouble, they don't let it go. They just keep pushing the guy out there, pounding him. And they don't, you know, and then he fails. And then it's like, well, let's get rid of him. Where the Dodgers don't let you get to that point where you continuously fail. You might lose some time in the majors. You might get some work done some other places. If you're a closer, you're going to get bumped down in that order. You're going to get moved around until you can kind of figure out what works for you and, you know, and get to work. So I think it's a no-loss move for the Dodgers. You know, they're not spending a ton of money, and if he can produce and contribute, he's going to stay with this team. But if not, you know, he'll be hanging out in the locker room.
So, yeah, and, you know, and obviously, you know, they'll have all spring training to look at him and see if it works out. And, you know, if it doesn't, you know, they could cut him or maybe get him to take a triple-A assignment to see if he can continue to work it out. But, yeah, I didn't think it was, too risky of a move. And, again, this is something that they do. You know, I mean, if you just kind of look at, you know, some of the pitchers they've used, you know, through the years, they bring these guys in. They try to get out of them what they can. And, you know, then it's like, oh, okay, well, it worked or it didn't work. And, you know, that's just that, you know, again, but hey, they won. So that's what matters. Mm-hmm. You know, and you would think more people will emulate that, but apparently, you know, teams don't like to spend money. So.
Well, and I mean, even in this situation, they're not spending that much money.
No, you know, they're not at all, but just kind of, you know, kind of one of those funky things. But, yeah, I thought that was kind of an interesting, you know, I mean, obviously it's under the radar and it's not going to, you know, it's not going to mean the Dodgers are going to repeat or anything like that. I just thought it was kind of interesting to see if they could, rehab the guy. And, you know, I mean, imagine if he becomes a, a credible bullpen piece for them, because it does kind of look like Kenley Jansen may be close to the end as a closer. Had some issues last year. We'll have to see how they got that going. But yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting.
I did have to bring this one up, Big Chick. I thought it was pretty funny. Trevor Bauer, I think, is taking over Bryce Harper's role. I feel like Bryce Harper's been very quiet since he's gone to Philly. I don't know. Is that just me? I don't know. I just feel like he hasn't been any smart ass things or kind of fun good stuff coming out of Bryce Harper these days. But if you missed it, Trevor Bauer tweeted out there, "Should I sign with the Cubs?" what's your thoughts on that? Is he just trolling? Is he having a good time? I'm not looking too deep into it. It is exciting. It's definitely a possibility, I think, for the Cubs, especially. Well, no, I mean, if you is on the market and then you sign Trevor Bauer, then I don't know what the point of that was.
Yeah, no, he is definitely trolling. He did this before. When free agency immediately started, he basically did the same thing to the Red Sox and was actually tweeting at the Red Sox. So, this is just something he likes to do. And, he's a very active social media guy, and, he's out there on all that stuff. So, again, it's definitely an interesting move. I mean, I think we know the Cubs aren't going to do it because for some reason they seem to be in save money mode. I'll never understand why a big market team does that, but I think a lot of it has to do with what Dan has said for years here, between the construction and the other purchases the Ricketts have made around the ballpark. They want to save some money and make some money off the team now. And we're just going to have to deal with a second, third non-playoff team for a little while with Cubs and see what they decide to do there. So it's a fun idea, but sadly, I think it's not going to happen.
No, I don't think it's going to happen. And, one of the things that I think we haven't talked about is, we brought up the fact we don't know who Jed Hoyer is. We don't know what he's going, we have really no insight into it. All you can kind of do is sit and guess and be like, there's only two ways he's going to go, the way he's gone, following Theo's right, or he's going to come up with his own system. And, the more I've thought about it, with everything that's going on, with the Cubs and, the Ricketts, and then the fact that they poured all this money into rehabbing and kind of making it a better area for the team, blah, blah, blah. All of that was shattered with this virus outbreak media frenzy. So, there's that factor into it. But you're Jed Hoyer. You're, 2-3 weeks into your position. I mean, he obviously had some kind of – he obviously had insight. He was there as the general manager. But how do you feel that his level of being overwhelmed is at? And do you think it'll – we just won't know until they hire a general manager. And, with the situation he's in, why even hire a general manager? Because everything's going to come back to you. You know what I mean? So I don't really know, what his level of comfort is, so to speak. You got to imagine this guy is just overwhelmed. Like, where do you start? Yeah, and I guess that's my question, Big Jack. Where do you start? Is the general manager position the key thing to worry about right now? Or do you worry about the staff and what you have?
Yeah, I honestly think a lot of it depends on kind of what he was instructed to do from the Ricketts. Are we saving money, or are we going to try to win? you know, and I mean, from the looks of it right now, it looks like they're just going out to save some money. You know, because it's just, you know, they DFA'd a bunch of guys who, you know, possibly could have helped them out. So, you know, does that seem to be the current plan? And, you know, until we get a sense, and I think it's going to take until they actually make a signing, you know, on, you know, what, which direction they're going, but it's tough to say. You know, they'll look at the team and go, okay, this is what they are, because I honestly don't think we know at this point. So, you know, not only do we not know who Jed Hoyer is, we don't know what this team is.
Yeah.
You know, is Chris Bryant coming? Is he going? What are we with him? So it's going to be a bit of an odd offseason. You know, otherwise, yeah, I just don't know, you know, what else this team is going to be. So, you know, I don't think hiring a general manager is the number one priority. So, but, you know, we'll see. I mean, obviously, just to look like a properly run organization, I guess maybe they'll hire one just because. But I don't honestly know or think going to have a lot of input on what they do.
Yeah, and I kind of felt like with the position that Jed is in, what, you know, being the former general manager and kind of the crossover between the two roles, is it that important to land a guy right now? Aside for the fact that, you know, he can hire a guy that's going to take almost the Joe Madden role, you know, where you don't really hire Joe Madden for his coaching. You hire him for his ability to distract everybody from the players, you know, where if Jed had somebody that could take all the pressure off and, host the shows and do all that stuff, then he can kind of sit in the office and do the work. So I don't know. And the one thing, and this is pure speculation, this is just the David Rossi thing. From the looks of it, you know, he's going to garner a lot of the blame for, well, obviously success or failures for the team over the next couple of years. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know if last year was enough of a sample size, but I feel like he's not going to be a long-term coach with the Cubs, and I don't think he's going to have long-term success as a manager.
No, well, you know, unfortunately, looking at it, it looks like he may not be put in a position to have success kind of a la local career. You know, because like when you knew when Renteria got that job, they weren't going to win. There was nothing he could do about it. You know, I mean, you can go through the list of these other guys who, you know, went through it in Houston or Detroit, you know, right now, you know, those kind of guys, they're not brought in there to win. They're brought in there to teach. They're brought in there to develop the young players. What you hope for is the team rewards them by allowing them to continue to manage as the team gets good. For whatever reason, Renteria was never given that opportunity, not only with the Cubs, but now with the Sox. So, you know, you almost feel bad for that guy, especially if the Sox do end up winning the World Series at some point in time with a lot of the guys he helped develop. You know, you're just going to look at that and kind of shake your head and feel bad for the guy, because in reality, he should have two World Series rings then, and he's got diddly squat. But, you know, it may be this position. I mean, if you think about it, if Chris Bryant does go or they do move a Yu Darvish, what kind of position is this team going to be in to win? And that's not David Ross's fault.
No. And that's kind of where I'm at.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, and that's, I guess I should have elaborated, but, you know, you definitely picked me up, or picked up where I left off. You know, it's not so much Ross's ability or inability. It's more the hand he's been dealt. And I just, you know, the way I look at it, maybe it's the Rick Renteria thing, like you said. I feel like, unfortunately for him, that he's not going to have a long career as a manager of a team because, I mean, with the exception of guys like Ron Washington, you know, I think these old school guys that just are baseball, you know, a lot of times we see these guys who go from, you know, the manager to the team, and then we don't ever see them again because, you know, whether they think it's beneath them to take a less involved role or, you know, I don't know. I feel for the guy. It is what it is, though. You can't change the circumstances you were brought into.
No, you know, and that's always, you know, a tough spot. I mean, somebody's going to manage the team, but, you know, you run into that system of, well, what are they going to be? I mean, you look at a guy, you know, there's the guy like, you know, Ned Yost, who, you know, Milwaukee brought him in. What did they, you know, and just didn't work there, but he got another chance in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not all those guys get other, you know, kind of opportunities or, you know, situations like that. So it's, you know, and then, well, I guess this would be interesting. I'd like to kind of get your opinion here. Do you think Ross wants to manage this team if both Rizzo and Bryant are gone as tight as they were?
I think he would still want to manage it. I don't think, he wants to be, of course, you know, here's me speaking for David Ross because I know him so well. I don't think he wants to be known as a friendly manager, so to speak, you know. My wife and I were actually talking about that the other day. But, you know, when I used to manage one place I worked at, you know, when I come back and talk to the people I used to work with, you know, they always, the respect for me is different than the new manager in the sense that I wasn't there to be everybody's friend. You know, we were friends. They knew that I could separate the two where, you know, they could push the new one around a little bit more because they know she wants to be everybody's friend. You know what I mean? And I just don't see that David Ross is that kind of guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't everybody's friend, or was I? I can't remember. It's been so long. So
you were half.
Yes. All I know is I was better than the other. That's fire. So.
Pretty much you saw the talent that went with you and the talent that stayed.
Yeah. So, yeah, because, you know, that was kind of just an interesting thing because obviously, you know, it's pretty clear Chris Bryant is gone. If it's not this year, he goes away in free agency. You know, and then we don't know about Rizzo, another guy who's a free agent, you know, if he would be back. And that was always the big thing, you know, though the team was winning. You know, I'm sure now that he's a manager, they all end up together. That would be funny.
FirstTimeRadio.com.